You just can't beat the classic original Ugg boots at skinnies.com.au.
I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Unanswered question from today's show. Mm. Now, I know what you're thinking. Today's show was just a best of show because Lisa's sick.
Yes.
We're all here, by the way. It's 5:40 in the morning and we are all here in the studio on Monday, June 18, including Lise, who can't talk. Yeah. Hold on, you can talk now.
I'm here.
Oh, you got back a little bit. Lise, my unanswered question from today's show is, what the heck did you do on the weekend?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I slept and did laundry.
Mm. She'd sent me a couple of messages saying, I think I'm fighting something off. I'm going to have a sleep. Because we don't even stop talking on weekends. She tells me when she naps. That's a subtle way of saying, don't call me, don't interrupt me. So I thought, oh, here we go. She's going to catch the black lung that I've had the past couple of weeks. And I've been spluttering over all of you.
Mm, it's been lovely.
And then last night we just got the message at 7 o'clock saying, guys, as of an hour ago, my voice has totally cut out. Yeah.
You could literally hear Jack, the executive producer of the show, already looking for another show to fill this time spot. You could hear it. It is tied.
What I loved is my suggestion of like, it'll be fine. Scotty and I will just do the show. We'll make it fun. And then it was just like, nah, we'll do a best of. Oh, thanks, guys.
Apparently last week's phoner of how much do you like Scott and want more of him in the show did not. I would not.
Didn't get the traction you hoped it would.
I would not. The benefit of me in my role is I have the minimum amount of contribution to the show possible.
Yeah.
And so people can like me for that. Whereas if I was ever required to bring more than that, people are like, oh, put him back. Put him back.
Back to time checks, please.
Okay. You just said something off air. That we're talking about maybe doing this on air, but let's bring it to the podcast first.
Well, my
this is the only bit of original content in today's podcast, so enjoy it.
My grade two girl is going off on a school excursion today, and it just reminded me of when I went on school camp in grade nine. So it was in Bundy, and we went to a school camp that was in the scenic rim area somewhere in Queensland, and it was basically the last school camp that my high school did. I don't know if they're doing them again, but I got lost on school camp with two other students in grade nine, and we were on some kind of massive trek. I mean, I say trek, it was on a road, and there was a fork in the road.
God.
And we'd lagged so far behind that we couldn't see which way the rest of our students had gone, of our classmates, and so we took the wrong fork in the road. Now, we ended up wandering through cow paddocks. I was in tears, going through barbed wire. We wandered for hours until we stumbled into a caravan park late at night, and the caravan park owners got, and I was like, oh my God, let's go get where
are we? This is actually pretty intense.
Yes. And then the caravan park owners called the school camp and said, we've got three of your students here. They didn't even know we were missing. Which goes to show what an impact I made at school. And I don't know if they dropped us back or if school picked us up. But after that, I think my mum obviously and the other kids' parents must have put in a complaint. Fair enough. And school camps were stopped. It was also the school camp where one of the teachers slipped on wet rocks and had to be airlifted out because she broke both her ankles. Yeah.
I wonder why they cancelled the...
I remember it was the first time I was embarrassed by my undies as well because I had floral undies, and I went to a co-ed school at the time, and one of the boys broke into my tent, grabbed a pair of my knickers and started waving them around to everyone else. Not that it deterred me though. Still wearing floral knickers. Yes.
That was actually me. I just looked like a boy.
Well, with the back brace and everything.
I caught up with some old friends yesterday, and one of them said to me, Lise, isn't it funny how you and Lise get along so well now, but 20 years ago you two wouldn't have been friends at all? And I said, no, I don't think so. I think we would have gotten along famously still. Because, yeah, don't you?
other than the fact that the school camps were my favourite.
Yeah.
And if you stopped them, I wouldn't have liked you a lot.
Well, I don't think it was, you know, it was just that they didn't do them the following year or the year after that, or the year after that.
So you went to an exclusive school in a regional part of Australia.
It wasn't that
you
exclusive.
Wandered off in what could only be described as a dreamlike sequence.
Yes.
And you were never seen again.
Yeah.
And then all of the parents started withdrawing their kids from the school and people would regularly go back to the rock and see if it... No, hold on. No, that's the plot of Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Picnic at Hanging Rock. Yeah, no, you're getting us confused. But yeah, it wasn't too crash.
That is an intense story. I think we should take that to air.
Do you?
Yeah.
What happened on school camp?
Here's our best of show that we played today.
Yes.
Enjoy it. And hopefully, Lise will have, you know, the only thing she needs to do this job tomorrow.
Yes. I mean, as if your voice is quite husky naturally, and it's quite attractive when it's even huskier.
Uncomfortable.
See you guys.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Lise, can we take some time to talk about eccentric billionaire inventor, investor, engineer Elon Musk, please?
I love him. I have a thing for Elon Musk.
Do you just like saying his name?
Yes, it reminds me of Musk sticks, and I also have a thing for those. I think he's a genius. He's the guy who bought us Tesla electric cars. Mm-hmm.
He wants to establish a human colony on Mars. When you say Mozza, I mean, we're not even talking $1 billion. We're talking $20 billion.
Yeah, he's the real deal. And he is, I mean, he takes his business very seriously. He conducts business by doing bets, Sarah.
Well, and he seems like he's a very tongue-in-cheek kind of a fellow too.
Yeah, I think he just has so much money that he's like, you know what? I've got an idea. I'm bored this week. How about we bet that I can sell 50 million hats with the name of my company on them?
50,000
hats. And if I sell 50,000 caps with my company name on it.
Which is The Boring Company, which he named after he just wanted to start digging holes.
Yeah, well, fair.
He was stuck. Apparently he tweeted he was stuck in traffic and was like, I'm just going to dig a hole. Mm-hmm. And that's hence The Boring Company was born.
Yeah, so he sold his 50,000 hats with The Boring Company on it.
Yeah.
And he said, if I do that, I'm going to make a flamethrower.
Well, that's nice, but how would he sell them?
Well, I heard this the other day. He did a shopping network thing.
Need to brighten up your life? Well, fire up, because we've got a deal for you that's so hot right now, literally.
It's billionaire Elon Musk's latest gift to America, and here at the Useless Shopping Network, we've illegally imported a limited number into Australia. Get excited. It's a flamethrower.
Yes, that's right. From the country that insists on gun ownership rights for everyone, now there's a gun that blasts fiery flames up to 3 metres. That doesn't sound menacing at all.
So safe. If you're bored with reheating leftovers in a microwave, flamethrower.
Get roasted. What's the perfect gift for people who insist a zombie apocalypse is coming? A flamethrower.
Total losers. Even the IOC are ditching the boring old Olympic torch for, you guessed it, a flamethrower.
So lit. Firefighters everywhere can't wait to come face to face with pyromaniacs pretending to be stormtroopers.
What fun! 10,000 have already sold, so be quick to get your own personal bushfire waiting to happen for just $500 each. Wow, snap, crackle, hot!
Call 1-800-FLAMMABLE and the first 50 callers will also receive a fire extinguisher, burns kit and an aloe vera plant seedling. This isn't just a must-have item.
It's a must-have item.
We're playing the best of CD this morning because Lise has lost her voice. But powering through, we're still on air for skinnies.com.au.
Yes, Lise's voice may have let the team down, but I'm happy to report that her Skinnies Ugg boots haven't. She's still sitting here beside me as silent as a doorknob, but her feet are toasty warm, aren't they? Oh, that's her contribution to today's show. Thanks so much, Lise. Good to have you here. Guys, yesterday, Lise and I had a work meeting at a cafe and then we had some spare time on our hands and thought, let's go for a stroll. And it was one of those beautiful streets where there's lots of little boutiques, lots of fabulous interior design stores and bed linen that costs, you know, $500 a sheet, which we just look at, don't touch.
Sarah's idea of shops and boutiques is a snooze fest.
And then Bugalugs here beside me spotted an op shop. Well, she was off like a bride's nighty. In fact, there were plenty of those in there too. Now, really, I feel we need to discuss the fact that there are two types of people in this world. There are those who absolutely love op shops, who could go in and they're up to their neck in fines. And then there are those of us like myself who just feel like they stink of mothballs and that's about it.
Well, Sarah, this is the thing. For you, an op shop is an assault of the senses. For me, it's a feast for the senses.
I just feel like I have no tolerance for searching through the shelves, trying to find the bargains. I don't have the eye for it.
I have the eye. And did find some doozies? Okay,
they
I'm going to tell
doozies,
you guys.
Yes, your okay. words, not mine.
I found a pair of Italian heels, gorgeous, red and gold detailing, never been worn. A pair of over-the-knee navy blue leather boots, Sarah, hardly worn. Then I found a Gucci cardigan, people. Gucci.
That doesn't make it okay because it was revolting and there was a reason it was donated. And people, let me tell you, that Gucci cardigan still had a $300 price tag on it, to the point where even the older lady working in the op shop turned to Lise and said, "Do you know how much that is?"
Well, she poorly priced it. See, she shouldn't be working in an op shop, okay? She should go back to the Bowls Club because you do not price something in an op shop for $300. It's just a no-go.
But it sucked you in because you saw it was Gucci. You tried it on in front of the mirror and she was like, "It's a bit scratchy."
It was a bit scratchy.
It needs a bit of wool wash. I mean, it looked like something fresh off one of those toilet dolls that sit
that
over
is
the
a
roll.
Lie,
like,
Sarah.
That's what it was like.
I resent it. You tried nothing on. You didn't even touch anything. You had your nose turned up the whole time. I'm telling you, it's an art. And
Have you ever actually found anything good in an op shop, Lise?
Have I ever? I spend most of my 20s just dressed in op shop stuff. I found, when I was in LA in West Hollywood, I found the most beautiful Helmut Lang blazer. Do you know how much that thing was actually worth? I bought it for $25.
Yeah. How much was it worth?
$723.
I'm surprised you didn't have that on Gumtree quick as a flash.
I'm considering it. I've just downloaded a photo of it. I might put it up later today.
It's a no.
I love a good bargain find. I love quirky things. I love eclectic things. I love clothing with a story. Sarah, witchery doesn't cut it.
I am an avid donator. I will donate clothes.
That is a lie.
The...
You
I
just
do.
Sold.
I do.
Sarah.
I do. I sell the good stuff.
Guys,
but
if you go on Sarah's Instagram account.
I've sold them all.
She's sold 8 articles of clothing. She's made over $700.
This is
you
those
don't donate
two girls.
Anything.
Threw me under
Good
the
morning.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Yeah, folks, we want to talk about digital addiction in kids because there's a new boot camp that's available on the Gold Coast for technology-addicted teens, and they're being sent there to kick their social media and gaming habits, and it's run by ex-military men and women.
Yeah, look, it runs for 9 days and costs $4,000.
Mm-hmm. But basically the whole purpose of it is to build physical and mental resilience to help high school kids step out of the virtual world and back into reality because they've got their faces in a screen and it's impacting their life and obviously their families' lives too if mum and dad are prepared to stump up $4,000 to send them away for more than a week to try and kick the habit. What do you reckon, Lise?
Yeah, look, I mean, I know that digital addiction is absolutely a thing. It's not a manufactured addiction. We know adults that are addicted to their devices. So I think that there absolutely is a place for digital detox. I'm still at the point where I'm wondering, is $4,000 a lot of money for it, or is it the best investment you'll ever make as a parent?
Well, yes, and I'll play devil's advocate. Is sending someone, you know, paying someone $4,000 to fix a problem outsourcing parenting? Do parents just need to crack down and take the devices away?
What do they do?
Well, they take, so as soon as they board the bus, they take every single device off the kids. I mean,
That's a pretty simple step, yes. And then I think they run them through drills related to self-confidence, behaviour.
Well, they basically treat them like they're temporary army cadets. So they polish boots, they're put through fitness routines, they learn coping mechanisms with real-life obstacles, because we know the stuff that is happening on social media is, in some cases, terrible. And it's undermining kids' self-confidence, and I guess it's making them question their whole identity as they go through those formative teenage years.
Both of you are parents. Mm. At what point in your kids' lives would you say, I need to send them on a digital detox? What would need to happen for you to think that?
I think if your child is struggling with basic human interaction, that is an issue. If they are more interested in screens than having a face-to-face conversation, that would be a massive red flag for me, because I would always want my kids to choose human interaction over device interaction. And if they're making the wrong choice there, I'd be putting my hand up to be like, I've either got to do something, or if I don't have the skills or resources to do it myself. Because the thing is, we are living this in this technology world. I mean, we're okay at tech, but we haven't been raised with tech.
And our we're kids not digital have. Natives.
So do we have the skills to navigate this as parents? I don't know.
Is well, and $4,000... I don't know, because, Lise, you and I aren't in that position yet. Like, I take a very hard line in theory. I'm not going to give my child a phone and access to data until they are in their teenage years. Mm-hmm. That's my position. I've told my daughter's friends' parents that as well. I've told my daughter, don't ask me, you're not getting one. But at the same time, my girls are nearly seven and four, and there's a long way to go. And I do want to learn from the parents who are currently, you know, forging ahead here and leading the way for us, Lise, when we get there.
You know what I kind of liken it to? It's like when you're pregnant, and you go, when my baby's born, I'm never going to rock them to sleep. Yes. When my baby's born, I'm just going to take them to cafes. Yeah. And they're just going to live it, fit in with my life. This is the same thing to me. Yeah. Until you are in that position with a tech-addicted teen, we cannot throw stones.
No, we can't.
So let's put it out there, sir.
All right. Okay, folks. Let's hear from you. We want to chat with you on 131060. Would you send your kids off to digital boot camp, or is this a parenting issue? Do parents need to parent harder?
Digital detox boot camp. Give us your thoughts, guys. We would love to chat with you about this.
Hey, Sean on 131060, what do you think? Would you send kids off to a digital boot camp?
Good morning. Yes, I would. But in also saying that, there's no guarantee that they would be completely recovered from that addiction.
Mm-hmm. Have you got kids, Sean?
I've got five kids.
Wow. So you're an expert in this field. Sean,
my eldest boy didn't get his mobile phone until he was about 16. He's now 20. Mm-hmm. And then my younger kids, they don't have any technology, only what we have at home.
So what do you have at home then? What are they allowed to access?
We've got a tablet and I've got my work phone. And they can access certain things, mainly learning stuff on the tablet, but only while we're supervising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're very vigilant with what access they have to devices, and it's in your presence pretty much.
Yeah. So long as it's in our presence, and they've got the study ladder on the PC, which is part of the school, but I don't mind them using that so long as they've got supervision. But in saying that, we've got friends who have kids as well, and they're all face in the screen.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Oh, it's a common thing. You just see kids with their faces in screens all the time.
Hey, Nicole on 131060, would you send your child off to a digital detox boot camp?
I certainly wouldn't have. My son did that same course nearly 2 years ago.
Wow. Okay, so he's been to the exact detox boot camp that we're talking about, Nicole.
The one in Queensland, Veterans for Youth.
Okay. Now, it cost $4,000, Nicole, so that's not cheap. I imagine that there must have been some kind of turning point in your relationship with your son where you thought, this is a problem that's bigger than I can handle. And when was that turning point?
When I noticed changes in his personality after he'd been on certain games and technology.
Mm-hmm.
He would act out. Sometimes be a bit violent towards his sister, his younger sister.
Yeah.
Nicole, how old was he when you sent him on to this boot camp?
He was actually only 11.
Yeah, right.
12. almost 12. Yeah, I think he was a little bit too young for it. Because he was in with, you know, up to 15, 16, 17-year-olds. As well. So
take us to the point, Nicole, where he returns home from the boot camp. What changes did you see in him, and do you think the boot camp worked?
The biggest change that I saw in my son was probably he could look you in the eye.
Okay.
Look you in the eye and have a little bit more respect. It probably lasted for about 3 months because I felt that it was unsustainable.
And how was it unsustainable, Nicole? Because, I mean, we know these devices are kind of the remote control to all of our lives. We've all got phones and iPads. How did that manifest in your household?
Because he had to use them for school.
Yeah. See, this is the thing.
Yeah, and now he's in high school and all his textbooks are on his iPad. So he's on it from the... Sometimes I catch him in the bathroom.
So, Nicole...
40 minutes from the toilet with
these iPads. So, Nicole, Lise and I aren't as old as yours yet. What advice would you give to us and any other parents listening who have children who aren't at the age for owning digital, you know, devices with data on them yet?
Well, I don't think you can totally ban it, but, of course, there have to be limitations to it. If I had my choice, like my son was using computers at daycare, so he could navigate around a computer at the age of 2.
Yeah, wow.
You know, and it's everywhere. It's normal society today. Like, I'm talking to you on a smartphone.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. But, you know, it is a big concern. And now I've heard that it's now considered a mental health issue, the addiction.
So, Nicole, knowing what you know now, was the $4,000 investment in the digital detox boot camp you sent your son to worth it, or would you not send him again if you had your time over?
I think it was worth it, but there needs to be follow-up. And they introduced the same program, then introduced a parents program in your own state. Like, I'm in New South Wales, so I had to send him to Queensland. So it cost me a lot more than $4,000.
Yeah.
And then for us to fly up, they have a graduation ceremony at the end of it. So for us to all fly up, the rest of the family to fly up for the graduation, so that was an additional cost.
Very expensive.
Look, I mean, it takes a village. We're all in this together. It's new territory. And thank you to everyone who shared their stories with
absolutely.
Us today.
God, a lot for us to think about, Sarah.
Yeah,
we're talking about digital boot camps, you know, when kids get addicted to technology, sending them off. Or is it responsibility that should stay with the parents? I suppose if people want to jump online to those two girls on Facebook, we'd definitely take your opinions and thoughts on it
absolutely.
There as well.
Absolutely.
You can get warmed up with Skinnies. Check out the original Ugg boots at skinnies.com.au.
Well, that was a podcast of those two girls.